Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Can we
be there? Ah, we are here. Ah, you don't have to think about it right here, right now. What a wacky, wacky night of news and reporting and misreporting and backtracking. This Antonio Brown story to the Buffalo Bills is a little bit bizarre. And I say to the Bills, it wasn't to the Bills at all. As Antonio Brown, it looks like, sort of put his foot down. But the problem was Orlando Franklin filling in for Brandon Stokely today, it had already been reported that Antonio Brown, by Ian Rappaport, who by most accounts is one of the three or four most reputable reporters in the business. So when you see Ian Rappaport say, hey, Antonio Brown's getting traded to the Bills, deal's almost done, the internet explodes.
Yeah.
And then an hour goes by, and I'm not seeing any corroboration to the report. And I don't want to say, hey, you know, I told you or anything like that, but I tweeted, I said, serious question, why is no one else corroborating the story? Why is Schefter not saying, hey, as first reported by Ian Rappaport? And then Antonio Brown hops on Instagram and says fake news.
Yeah.
And now the deal's just totally off the table, and the Buffalo Bills said that they're moving on.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Like you said, Ian Rappaport, very credible. You know, as a guy that when he reports something like that, the deal is literally done. It's just a matter of signing on the dotted line. Antonio Brown then saw that, and people started hitting him up, blowing him up, saying, hey, we're hearing you're going to the Bills. And he then called his agent, who was my agent, still my agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and said, listen, no, I'm not going there. I'll walk away from football. You've already seen it the past couple weeks that I don't need football.
I don't need football.
Now all of a sudden you're going to Buffalo. It's a little bit colder out there. You've never been to that city. There's a little bit, you got to play against the Patriots that's owned the division for years. And then it's all of a sudden, no, I'm not doing this. So Antonio Brown just did what Antonio Brown is going to do.
Right.
He's going to look out for himself. And if he doesn't see a place that is fit, you know, can you imagine Antonio Brown with Josh Allen? That's
no.
Running up and down the field.
No.
And not really chucking the ball down the field. This is a guy that wants 15 targets. If he could get 15 a game, he still would probably be complaining. So he looked at that roster, and he looked at Buffalo, upstate New York, and said, nope, I am not doing it. And then Drew then, you know, because I've been in Florida before where AB has called and had some issues with – what was going on in the Steelers organization has called Drew, and I've been around Drew, and I've seen Drew have to, like, hey, hold on, Orlando, let me get on the phone, and he calls the Steelers general manager directly, and them they're figuring it out and trying to make AB happy. So I anticipate that's exactly how it went yesterday. AB saw the news. He was like, hold on, no, wait a minute. This doesn't work for me.
Not going to work for me.
Got Drew on the phone, Drew Rosenhaus on the phone, said, listen, I will not play football if this is what's going on. Drew then called the Steelers and said, hey, you got to back out that deal. He's not going to play.
And then, so basically how this is working, and I've seen others suggest this as well, but basically how this is working is Antonio Brown, for all intents and purposes, has a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
It's like
basically, yeah.
It almost is working, and I believe Pritchard and Cecil may have mentioned this, that like it's almost working like a free agent. Like, no, no, that's not going to work for me over there.
Yeah.
There's, you know, I have maybe three or four teams on my list.
Think about it. This is his first opportunity in his career that he's becoming a free agent, basically. He's always got restructured before his deal has been up. He's got the more money. They always kept him happy. This is the first time where he could somewhat dictate where he wants to go.
Right.
And we saw it yesterday. He is definitely dictating where he wants to go.
Do you have a hunch or a guess, won't hold you to it, of where Antonio Brown will eventually wind up?
I think the Colts, man, they got the money. They got a great one. They could get another one. I think they're going to be able to attract Le'Veon Bell here in a couple days. And then he's going to heavily recruit Antonio Brown and talk to that facility. And they got the money. So I think they're going to make a strong push. And, you know, because you talk about Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell being on that team, they're in the championship game for sure. It might not be the Super Bowl, but they're in the championship game. They're playing 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Colts, when you look at who they have, the money they have to spend, they are a team that you probably want to buy stock in right now.
Absolutely.
Right now. My gut is, and this is, I don't know if this is a fortunate or unfortunate thing, but my gut tells me he's going to end up with the Raiders. Now, I have seen that suggested. I've seen Green Bay suggested as well. But my gut tells me that he's going to end up there.
Wow.
And I don't know how we, Broncos country, should feel about that. Whether it's go ahead and poison the well with the Raiders, or are we going to be pulling our hair out? And I know I'm projecting here. I'm just speculating if it were to happen. Would we be pulling our hair out twice a year for the next 3 or 4 years trying to cover this guy?
Yeah.
So
better go sign Chris Harris right away. You better give him an extension ASAP if that's the case.
Huge basketball game tonight. Well, I say huge. I don't want to overemphasize it, but the Nuggets are in Golden State. There is one game separating the Nuggets from the Warriors for the perch at the top of the Western Conference. We've seen the Nuggets beat. I was at both games, okay?
You might as well go tonight.
Well, it's in Golden State.
So?
Hey. I was at the game in the beginning of the year. They held the Warriors to 99 points, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. Everyone played for the Warriors, except for Boogie. But I'm watching them hold the Golden State Warriors, the most prolific offensive team in the history of the sport, to 99 points. But then I went to the second game, and the Warriors, after 12 minutes of basketball, were on pace for 200 points after putting up the largest first quarter number in league history.
Just like football, man, defense wins championships. If you can't play defense, that's the biggest difference between the first game that they played and the second game at the Pepsi Center was the defense. Nuggets came out, and yeah, they did some special things on offense, but they played lights-out defense in that first game. Got to be able to transition that and play it on the road tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm fascinated by it, this Nuggets team down the backstretch that's still – they're like the only team in basketball who's still – finding their identity that is in the playoff position that they currently are. So can't wait to watch it. I'll be locked in for it, and I'm sure a lot of you guys will be locked into it as well. All right, Orlando, Case Keenum is officially on his way out. What do we give this trade in terms of a grade? We'll go through it next. Just a heads up, a warning. I'm picking all the music today. Picking all the music. Stokely's not here. It's my birthday weekend, and I'm just hijacking all the music.
Well, it's been two songs, and I haven't heard neither one of them ever before, so
okay.
You're doing a great job.
Well, the one song's our intro, and this is David Bowie. And I know you heard of David Bowie.
Yeah.
All right. Case Keenum is officially on his way out. Orlando Franklin filling for Brandon Stokely today, by the way. Case Keenum is officially on his way out. The Broncos have agreed, and this is taking it from Schefter's article on ESPN.com. The Broncos have agreed to trade Case Keenum to the Washington Redskins. In exchange, the Broncos will get a sixth-round pick in the 2020 draft from those Redskins. Washington will also get a 2020 seventh-rounder from Denver. So we're flip-flopping. We get a six, we get their six, they get our seventh. Keenum was slated to count $21 million against the Broncos salary cap for this coming season. He's reworked his contract, Orlando, and will be on a one-year deal with the Redskins. Oh. Keenum has a base salary of $18 million this season, but only $9 million was guaranteed in the way of offsets, which the Redskins and Broncos decided to split evenly, sources have told Adam Schefter. The Broncos, who would have carried $10 million in dead money had they just cut Case Keenum, will instead save $3 million by paying only $3.5 million as well as a $500 restructuring bonus.
No.
What do you make of the transaction?
I think it's great for Case. It is absolutely great.
He got a raise.
Great.
He got a $500,000 raise.
He got a $500,000 raise, but also he went to the Washington Redskins. Alex Smith is not going to be able to go at the start of the season. So Case has an opportunity to showcase his skills with a new team, new coordinator, new head coach, and hopefully catch some traction and go to another team. So this deal worked out great for Case because the other alternative was the Broncos held on to him, cut him completely. Now he ends up wherever because he becomes more appealing to other teams
right.
at only a one-year vet minimum deal because the Broncos would have had to pay him the $7 million and the Broncos the $7 million this year, but also they had a $10 million cap hit. So every team would have looked at Case to bring him in for $1 million for 1 year.
Sure, no-brainer.
But it would have never been the right situation for Case now because you get on some of these teams like a New Orleans Saints or Los Angeles Chargers where literally you're going to sit behind the prolific starter for the whole season, not get no reps, not get no film, and now when you hit free agency next year, everybody's just looking at your Broncos film and what you did. This opportunity for Case going to Washington now, he gets an opportunity to start right away because it's just Colt McCoy right there.
Right.
So he gets an opportunity to beat him out, but also he gets to continue building on that film. And like you said, yeah, $500,000 raise, man. It's a win-win situation for him. And he controlled his cards. This whole deal, Case was in control. I mean, we heard John Elway say, hey, you know what? We would like to have him back, you know, at a reduced rate. Case was in control. That meant right there that there was already an extension offered to him. And Case said, ultimately, why extend with the Broncos? I'm not going to get an opportunity to play, you know, but if I go to the Redskins, I got an immediate opportunity to play and I can build upon that film and now try to get to that next contract and go make maybe another team takes a chance on me. I mean, we see it time after time. Fitzmagic.
Right.
You see all these guys getting these big deals that were backup quarterbacks to come in and have 1 year. So Case, he's on a 1 year prove it deal in Washington, but also he got a little bit of a raise bump. And he could have sat at home for $7 million, but, you know, the $500,000 raise is for the days that he's active, the 16 days of the week, the 16 days out of the year on game days.
You know, this to me, everything you just said made sense from the Case Keenum perspective because we sort of thought, and Stokely and I looked around the league, we're like, where are the opportunities to start? And we had assumed that the Redskins were going to draft a quarterback. Now, yeah. They may still, but they may not.
No.
They may not. And
got a lot of money tied up in that quarterback room. I mean, when they traded for Alex Smith last year, they immediately extended him. And now you're talking about taking on $3.5 million salary for Case this year.
Right.
It's a lot of money tied up in that quarterback room.
I just can't believe that Case Keenum's going to be in another scenario where he could be, and by the way, I expect him to beat out Colt McCoy and be the starting quarterback of the Redskins.
Yeah, what if Case takes this team and it's week 10 and they're 8-2.
So
Alex Smith is ready. He's ready to go. And then they're like, no. We're not going to make this change.
I have said on these airwaves, on the air and off the air, privately to Stoke and then into this microphone, one of the worst case scenarios for the Broncos is that They tried a different version of Case by bringing in Joe Flacco. Case goes somewhere and continues the cycle that we've seen so many times with guys like Fitzmagic, and he balls out. Wow. What if he goes and balls out? It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world because we just saw him do it in the 2017 season. He was terrific. 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, winning a bunch of games for a playoff team that was in the championship game. You do open yourself up to that possibility. Not saying that the Broncos should have done anything different than they did, but that possibility exists.
It quite possibly could happen because I look at it, typically guys become better in their second start, their second season of starting full-time. You know, Case was not named a full-time starter in Minnesota. He was named a full-time starter last year. So I look at it, that was his rookie year. Now this is his sophomore campaign now going to Washington. But also, I mean, now you got more confidence as well. I mean, he didn't know what it took to be a quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I mean, you got John Elway in the front office. Now he's going to have Allen in the front office over there with Washington that won a Super Bowl for them back in the day. But he's going to be able to get mentored. And maybe John Elway mentor, maybe that didn't work. But maybe now he goes to Washington and it's a little bit different style of play and it might work for him. It's all about finding your fit. I mean, I know it personally firsthand. With playing here, and I thought this is how the NFL is. You're always going to get along with your position coach. They're always going to play to your strength. They're going to give you these different little tools and put them in your toolbox, and you can pull out each and every tool any given time when you see fit. And then I went to the Chargers, Zach, and it was completely different.
Right.
I got a coach that was, it was clear cut. It was either black or white. It was, you're going to do this way, and you're not going to be able to do it any other way. And he tried to trade everything away for me. He tried to completely rip my game from me and try to turn me into a different person and handcuff me, essentially, where it showed on the field. I kept on getting hurt. I wasn't playing up to par. And I was trying to figure out his system, where now with Case Keenum, you know, we never know. That might have been the issue here last year, that he never got the tools that he needed. And now he goes to a different team. And, you know, Washington's desperate to win. Each and every year, it seems like they have that injury bug. So you got to understand there's going to be a little bit more leniency there at the quarterback position. And Case quite possibly could go out and have a great year. And the Broncos thinking, like, what do we do?
Right. And let me just say this. Kudos to John Elway for getting this done. Kudos to John Elway and the Broncos for getting this done. You saved $3 million, and you moved up a round in the draft.
Yep, that's Shelby Harris right there.
There you go.
The tender that you want to put on Shelby Harris. That's, come on back. We just got the money.
You know what? It is making the best of a bad situation.
Yep.
So kudos to John. He deserves it. The Broncos are in a better position this afternoon than they were yesterday morning. So tip of the cap to him. But unfortunately, Case Keenum gets laid to rest in the graveyard of quarterbacks since Peyton walked out the door. And we're going to walk through that graveyard. Be prepared. Next.
Another song that I have not heard before.
This is Tom Petty, the legend.
How old are you turning this weekend?
32.
Congrats, man.
Happy
birthday in advance.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Got a nice little chill weekend plan. It's funny how your birthday weekend is vastly different than it was when I turned 22
or
23. I just want to hang, do some Top Golf, watch a couple movies, spend time with my kid, my wife, hang out, have a couple cold ones.
Well, when I played, I always wanted my birthday to fall during the week because it was a little bit more downtime.
Sure.
And it always kind of fell on a day that I had to work. And the first year that I retire, literally the first year, I played 7 years in the league. The first year I retire, my birthday, now it falls on a Tuesday. I'm just like, why couldn't that happen when I was in the league? You know, if it falls on a Tuesday, that's my day off. I could go do whatever I want. But typically, I've always been at work.
Well, your birthday becomes less of a big deal, you know, as you get older.
Speak for yourself, dude.
Okay.
I've been celebrating my birth last year. First year retirement. It was like I was turning 21. It was a great time.
Case Keenum's no longer here. Shipped off to Washington. And unfortunately, it's another name on an ever-growing list of quarterbacks here with the Broncos since March 2016. And I saw a tweet from Nikki Jobvala from The Athletic, who just does a tremendous job. And sometimes you have an understanding of something, Orlando, but you need this visual context, or you need someone to say it directly to you, bluntly, and it sort of stops you in your tracks. Even if you have an understanding of what it is. I probably could have told you every single name that's on this list that Nikki tweeted, but when you actually see the names printed on paper, it adds a visual element to it that is alarming. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
So you look at this list that Nikki tweeted out since March of 2016. The quarterbacks that have been brought here. Mark Sanchez. Trevor Siemian. Paxton Lynch, Kyle Sloter, Austin Davis, Chad Kelly, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Kevin Hogan, Garrett Grayson, Joe Flacco. That is just in the last three seasons alone. Now, she also went on to list the offensive coordinators since March 2016. Rick Dennison, Mike McCoy, Bill Musgrave, Rich Scangarello. Head coaches, Gary Kubiak, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio. This is all since March 2016. And when you think about an NFL franchise, especially the stalwart franchises, we look up to or reference their stability. And that, and we acknowledge that change isn't great, especially at these three components, these three prongs of a franchise: QB, head coach, offensive coordinator.
And I look at the QB list and I'm just like, wow.
Stunning, I mean, isn't it?
Like you said, you know, you could probably name all those names, but when you look at it on paper, there's 11 guys. I mean, three of them are here, the last three, and Garrett Grayson and Joe Flacco and Kevin Hogan. Those guys are here right now, but it's still 11 names in three seasons.
Right.
At the quarterback position, think about this. When you have your Patrick Mahomes, when you have your Phillip Rivers, when you have your Drew Brees, your Tom Brady, that number now looks like the offensive coordinator numbers in the last 3 years. About four quarterbacks have been here when you're able to identify that one position. And this is one position that's on the field. It's not like the running backs room where there's a couple of them that could be on the field at the same time. The tight ends room, the offensive line room.
Right.
No, there's only one quarterback on the field at one time, unless you're doing what the Saints are doing with Hill out there.
Sure.
But this is crazy.
It is crazy. And I feel like there's got to be some folks out there that think I'm being a little bit unfair, because when I say a name like Chad Kelly, that Chad Kelly was never supposed to be like the plan at quarterback. So there may be some folks out there that say, hey, that list isn't fair because Garrett Grayson isn't a plan. But at one point in time, Trevor Siemian was, Paxton Lynch was, Brock Osweiler was, Case Keenum was, and now Joe Flacco is. And if you just went by that alone, don't mention the Sloters, the Austin Davises, the Chad Kelly. Just talk to me about the plans. We're talking about five different plans since March of 2016. It's March of 2019. It's not March of 2024, where five quarterbacks over that span still wouldn't be what you're looking for.
Hold on, I got six. How did you get five? I got Mark Sanchez in there.
That's fair. That's fair. Just because he fell on his face and couldn't get to the point to get his cleats in the grass, he was at one point a plan, a bridge, a starter.
Yeah.
So that is fair. I'm not going to give you pushback on that. It is nothing short of disturbing. And when you ask the question very simply, why? How? It becomes even more disturbing. Because it's an indictment on the selection process.
Yep.
And I hope to God that we're not sitting here next offseason looking at a new Joe Flacco, whether it's drafted or free agent or whatever, and looking at Joe Flacco as just another casualty as we're looking at Case Keenum. Case Keenum was here for like, my buddy Ryan tweeted he was like here for like 256 days, something like that.
Mm.
I mean, it's Orlando. Holy moly.
When you can't identify the quarterback position, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to constantly be bringing in different guys and trying to figure it out. The Broncos, they dropped the ball. And you could argue that it took Peyton until March to retire. But everybody knew, or everybody at least thought that, hey, he was walking out the door. So you should have either had a plan in place right then and there with either Brock Osweiler, and never let him walk out the door at that point, but also you know, the draft. You should have had a plan through the draft. We should never have got. It's like Paxton Lynch snuck up on us. Like, we didn't do enough evaluation, and we thought we were good. We thought we might have been able to talk Peyton into another year, and then we're okay. Let's go to the Brock now. When Peyton walks away, and then Brock walks away, and now it's oh my gosh, what do we do? Well, you can't do that. I mean, and that's what the Broncos need to learn. Like, especially with guys like Chris Harris that's getting ready to play in their last contract year. You cannot afford for some of these players to get that close to free agency. Matt Paradis. I would have did a deal with Matt Paradis last year to keep him here. Mm. But that's what has continued to happen to the Broncos. It's just kind of like, well, let's wait. Let's wait and see what happens. But when you wait and see, that's when you go through 11 quarterbacks now in 3 years. Because you waited to see what was going to happen.
And I'm seeing a RamosLaw.com text. And guys, hit us up if you want to weigh in. 303-713-1043. That's the NFL. Look around the league. After losing a Hall of Fame quarterback, be fair. We are being fair.
11 in 3 years? It's almost 4 years. That's a little
disturbing.
Bit.
That's disturbing.
I mean, we're trying to be fair. We are 100% trying to be fair. But they've made some mistakes on the line. The one guy that I wish would have been here still is Kyle Slaughter. He was a guy that could have been a hidden gem. Keep him on the roster. Yeah, he doesn't start that year. Okay, but now next year, the 2017 season, now you see what he has.
Well, that was an unfortunate story because they not evaluate him, they actually said while he had a Broncos logo on his helmet in the camp, said that he's not being evaluated.
Yeah.
Which I have never heard. In the 10 years covering the NFL, I have never heard that a guy's in camp, he's actively lighting it up. That's the part that we can't get away from. Every opportunity he had in preseason, he lit it up.
Yeah.
And to say openly that he's not being evaluated was, you know, again, another indictment here along the road, the bumpy road since Super Bowl 50. That bothers a lot of people. I still see when Nikki sent out this tweet, you go to the replies, Kyle Slaughter still just rubs people story the wrong way.
Yeah, you cannot make up your mind in the off season, or you cannot make up your mind in OTAs who's going to be your guy. Football, it's week in, week out. 100% injury rate. Things are always changing. You got to be able to adapt and adjust on the fly. And if a guy comes in and he's lighting it up, you got to have an open mind. Because you did it before with Chris Harris Jr. You did it last year with Philip Lindsay. You didn't decide to walk away from these guys. You had an open mind. So why can't you have an open mind at the quarterback position? Because Peyton Manning was here? That's even more of a reason to have an open mind. Where I just look at John Elway, I look at this Broncos organization, and I just say, look at what they have done with the quarterback position, and it's all over the place. I mean, Brock Osweiler leaves, but then you bring him back. I mean, Mark Sanchez, he's your plan, but then he falls over, then he's out of here. Kyle Slaughter is not even being evaluated. Case Keenum, you could have got a deal done for 1 year, $18 million, and Case Keenum would have came here last year. But no, you thought that there was something special in him, so you gave him some extra money. Even if he took 1 year, $22 million last year, it's 1 year. Let's see where he's at after 1 year. Let's not tie some money to him and continue to have to pay out this dead money year after year. You had to pay Paxton Lynch this dead money last year, him not being on the team, but you had to pay him. This year, now you got to pay some dead money towards Case Keenum, and you got to pay him, and he won't be on this team again. When are you going to get it right?
That's the question. And what makes, and I'm not breaking news here, obviously, but what makes it more glaring, maybe for not even us here, but nationally, around the country, when they look at the situation, it's Michael Jordan drafting Kwame Brown. You know, that how can this guy that was so great, like John Elway's status as a player is unequivocal. I don't know why there's not a statue of John outside Mile High.
Yeah.
There absolutely should be.
I agree.
I mean, he is the greatest Colorado athlete in the history of Colorado sports. But when he's tasked with this incredibly important job. You could say the number one job of a general manager, to identify what it looks like to identify another him. It's been such an incredible challenge. And Stephen, maybe we can even find it. That article that we never used from a week ago, that it was an explanation. I tried to find it scientifically. It was from 538. Do we still have that article? Okay, well, we're going to dig it up. But basically, what the article was suggesting, it was kind of deep. It was kind of like in the weeds of, like, you know, scientific language and stuff. But what the article was trying to say is that extremely talented people, the more talented they are and become, they lose touch with the exact attributes on what makes them them. Because they're just so uber talented, it's hard to describe. Like, if you were to job train how to be a quarterback, John would be really bad at it because he was just so great and so innately incredible that you lose touch over time with the actual attributes that made you that way in the first place.
They say great quarterbacks are born, right? When I look at this list of 11 people, I see one quarterback that was a Super Bowl winner and that was an MVP, but I would not even call him a great quarterback, and he's the quarterback that we just moved on to. At best, we get 3 years from Joe Flacco, and he comes in here and he plays great. He extends his career, but now we end up right back in the situation that we're in.
Right.
And that's at best. In 3 years, we're right back right here trying to find our quarterback. With John, what you have to do at this quarterback position with identifying your quarterback for the next 15 or 20 years, when you find that great quarterback and you identify him in the draft, you got to give up everything that you have to give up in order to get your guy. Because like I said, if you could get your one guy, we've already went through 11 in the last 3 years trying to find that one. But if you could get your one guy, you're set for 15 to 20 years.
Right.
And you never have to address that position. So it might hurt and it might cost you a lot as far as trading away guys and or releasing guys or doing whatever you need to do to move up. But once you identify your guy, it's so much more better. Look at Cleveland, Baker Mayfield. They're not worried about a quarterback position now for the next 15, 20 years. Look at the Houston Texans. We had an opportunity. I mean, we could have passed up on Paxton and try to get to the next draft and then traded away some guys and got some draft capital in order to get up in that early part of the draft to trade for a guy like Watson. But Houston got him. And now Houston's not worried about the quarterback position for the next 15 to 20 years. They were so confident in this guy that they got their guy that they said, hey, listen, man, we don't even need to see what's going on with Brock. We don't need to see if Deshaun Watson needs a bridge year to sit behind Brock and get ready. This is our guy. Bye, Brock. We'll see you later. When you solve the quarterback position, everything else becomes so much more easier. And the Broncos have been struggling the past 3 years with 11 guys on this list. And one guy, we don't even know if he's going to be able to play back to the form that he was. I mean, you hope that he comes in here and he's able to have those game-winning drives and he competes on third down. But let's be honest, Joe Flacco's not a guy that sits there and lights it up. He's not going to have 40 touchdowns in a year. He's not going to have the crowd rocking and rolling. You know, your defense is going to have to play strong for Joe Flacco because he's not the Peyton Manning that came in here in 2012. But you got to find out what you're going to do, because what are we going to do? Are we really going to wait and Joe Flacco plays good this year? Do we not draft a quarterback next year? Well, that would be stupid, because in 3 years, you're going to get right back to this situation. And at that point, you might end up in a draft selection where you have the Paxton Lynches in that draft. Where the guys that don't love football that much, the guys that cannot be the face of the franchise. And now we're going through the same exact cycle all over again. Got to find out who our quarterback is right now.
And shout out to Stephen for digging this up on the fly here. I have this article from 538. I don't want to lose anyone here, but I think there's real value in me sharing this. They're trying to identify why Elway has struggled so badly to pick a quarterback when he was such a great one himself. And at the very end of this article, they said cognitive scientist C.N. Belock, the president of Barnard College, wrote in Psychology Today that there's little chance that former athletes can remember what made them great. In fact, those athletes probably couldn't have communicated it even when they were playing. Quote, when your performance flows largely outside of your conscious awareness, your memories of what you've done are just not that good. This makes it hard to teach what you know to someone else. As you get better and better at what you do, your ability to communicate your understanding or to help others learn that skill often gets worse and worse. End quote. And the way that the article ends, it says, the same presumably holds true for knowing what to look for in a player at the position you played. So it just may be that the worst person to pick the new Elway for the Broncos is Elway himself. End quote. I just thought that was very interesting as a new angle of looking at it.
Yeah. Basically, you're overqualified for the job, and no matter what, you've done it a certain way, and you might not be able to identify that because you cannot explain what you've done in your career.
It's just so, you're just so naturally great.
Great quarterbacks are born.
Flows largely outside of your conscious awareness. So you mentioned earlier, like John Elway mentoring Case. I don't know how much of that went on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there wasn't attempt to. I really have no idea. I'm not in that building. But at the same time, that perspective is unique. Hopefully, this is no longer an issue. Hopefully, Joe Flacco comes in here and stabilizes the ship at the quarterback position the same way that you're hoping Vic Fangio sort of stabilizes, you know, the carousel of coaches here.
Yeah. No, I agree. Absolutely. Quarterback position is a very hard position to play, but you got to use your resources. If John Elway's not able to do that, why not, you know, outsource a guy like Peyton Manning? He's here. He does the ESPN analyzing the quarterbacks. He has him and his brothers. They have the football camp. Why not? Yeah, I'm sure John Elway and Peyton Manning talk. So why not say, hey, you know what? I'll give you $5 million this year. Identify who we need to go after between Tua, Herbert, and Fromm. You have a whole year.
Orlando, I have suggested this very thing to Stoke. And you know, he has said, I don't know if Peyton would go for it or not. We know how much time Peyton spends in Denver. I'm not saying he's here full time, but I'm saying he is here full time. Why wouldn't you? If you had struggled so much, I hope it wouldn't be an ego thing, because he is such a unique resource that, hey, why wouldn't you tap into it and just say, hey, tell me what you think. Yeah. We won't hold you accountable or anything. We just want to know your insight. Tell me what you think.
And I don't know why Peyton wouldn't be up for it, because he's already breaking down these guys during football games and breaking down these quarterbacks. So I don't know if a friend came to him at that point and said, hey, listen, we're going to pay you for your time. We're going to pay you for your evaluation process. We just want to know, I mean, is our guy in this draft? Should we be targeting anybody? Or even you could have him look at some other guys, some backup quarterbacks, some guys in the second round. You know, where you might not be in position to use a first-round pick on a draft pick. But you can't have what happened to you with Paxton Lynch ever happen again. So why not outsource as many people as possible? And you got a great quarterback in Peyton Manning that still lives out here, that spends a ton of time in Denver. Saw him a few weeks ago at the same gym that we work out at. And he's always around. So why not?
And someone just chimed in. I'm glad they did. Wouldn't the same concept you just outlined apply to Manning? Yes, it may. But
we don't
but
know
we
that.
Don't know.
But we don't know. So we got to try.
Hey, what are they saying about Case Keenum in Washington today? Details next.